Well, it's my prayer that God and His Word would be honored and lifted up again here this morning, and my desire that you can look past my shortcomings as a speaker, as presenting the Bible, and that God would be lifted up this morning. You can turn to Matthew 21 for a message here this morning. Matthew chapter 21, there's a little story here that Jesus told. We read this little story in the children's Bible storybook this past week, and it kind of stood out to me. Some things about it stood out to me, and I decided to look at it here for a message today. And we find that story starting in verse 28. Here of Matthew 21. We're kind of breaking into the middle of the setting here. I know it's Jesus talking here, but I'll just read this as we have it, starting at verse 28, and I'll read to verse 32. Jesus speaking. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. As I said, it's kind of breaking into the middle of the story here. But what was this? What was the background? What's the setting here? I'll just give some of that. I believe this took place just a few days before Jesus' death, his crucifixion. It was among the last of his time here on earth with his disciples, and he had just the previous day, I believe, rode into Jerusalem there on the colt with the people praising and shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the chief priests and the scribes, the elders, they were getting pretty upset with Jesus. They were angry with Jesus. He was teaching in the temple here just the previous day when he came to Jerusalem. He had threw out all them that were buying and selling in the temple. He cast them out, it says, and that probably disrupted things. Their normal, what was normal, they thought. They weren't very happy about that. And it says there, the children were singing praises in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased, it says in verse 15. And they confronted Jesus about that, and he said, Yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he had a rebuke for them. And so here, Jesus was teaching in the temple again, it says, teaching the people in verse 23. And I believe it was very provoking to them. Jesus was getting all the attention. They were jealous. The people looked up to him. This was Jesus was teaching. This was their job, wasn't it? And so they came to Jesus with this question in verse 23, demanding of Jesus, why are you doing these things? Who gave you the authority to do this? And Jesus knew their hearts, I believe. He knew they weren't really serious about loving and obeying God. He knew they weren't sincere. He knew there was jealousy and hatred in their hearts. He knew they were more concerned about their reputation and the way that people saw them and their appearance and their looks than they were about true obedience to God. And so in verse 24, he had a question for them. He said, "I'll answer your question if you first answer this question from me." And we have his question there in verse 25. "The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men?" Did John come preaching and baptizing because he was sent from God? Was he a prophet of God? Or was it just his own thing? Was he just doing it on his own? And these priests and elders, they were in a real predicament here, weren't they? Because they hadn't believed John and his message. You know, John had given them some very strong rebukes and warnings, similar to what Jesus had done and was doing. And apparently they hadn't heeded those warnings. They had rejected the teachings of John. But you know, they were too afraid to say so because they were concerned about their reputation. They knew all the people held John as a prophet from God. They held John in high esteem. And most of the common people had believed John's words, had believed John's message. So they were in a real predicament here. They said, "We can't answer that question." And Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And then he went on to give this story that we have here. It's a very simple, easy to understand story. We have the son, both sons, that dad said, "Go work in my vineyard today." We have the first son. He outright refused. He said, "I will not." But afterward, he repented. He changed his mind. And he went. And the second son, he heard the same command from his dad, "Go work in my vineyard." And he said, "I go, sir." But he never went. And the question that Jesus raised here was, which one of these sons did the will of his dad? And it was very clear that it was the first son, the one that initially said, "No, I'm not going to go." He was, in the long run, he was the obedient son. And Jesus, you know, went on to make the application of the story, which was very harsh, straightforward admonition, rebuke to those there that were supposed to be the leaders, to be the examples to the people. And Jesus said, "The publicans and harlots, the sinners, the ones you look down on in society, they're like this first son. They heard the words of John. They heard John the Baptist preach the kingdom of God. And they repented of their sins and are doing the will of God. They've entered the kingdom of God. But you chief priests and elders, you're like that second son that said, 'I go.' And you say, 'We're the sons of Abraham. We obey the law of Moses.' But that's only as far as you're going." He said, you've heard the preaching of John as well, but you haven't believed and repented." And Jesus went on later there to share another parable with them that had many more warnings for them. So that's a little bit the setting here. Well, how can we apply this story today? What can we learn from this story? You know, I know we aren't Pharisees and priests here this morning, but is there lessons we can learn? Is there parallels we can make from this story? Is there warnings we can take? You know, I believe all Scripture is given for our inspiration, the Bible says. It's given for us to learn from. And I believe this story is no exception. For a title for the message here, I have chosen the title, The Story of the Two Sons. The Story of the Two Sons. And I would like for each one of us to just stop and consider this morning, which son am I? You know, which son do I want to be today? Looking at this story a little further, you know, one of the first things that stood out to me in this story of these two boys was their opportunities. You know, both of those boys had the same opportunities, right? They both had the same father. They both had the ability to go work in their dad's vineyard. And I'm sure their dad gave them the tools they needed for the job. You know, maybe it was the time of the year to prune the grapes for the next growing season. I don't know. The dad would have given them a tool for the job. Maybe it was time to harvest the grapes. You know, maybe their dad would have gave them a shears and some baskets to fill. And I'm sure these boys were strong young fellows, well able to do what their dad was asking of them. They had the same opportunities. But you know, the one went and the other did not. What about these religious leaders that Jesus was talking to here? You know, they too had many opportunities to spiritually go right. You know, these were the chief priests, the elders, the leaders, men who had been taught the law of Moses. Many of these were Pharisees, if I would understand it right. And the Pharisees were very strict to study the law of Moses and to follow it. And they had many laws in addition to that as well. But they would have learned the law at a very young age. They had the writings of Moses. And they also had the opportunity to hear John the Baptist, the same opportunity that many other of the Jewish people had. They had heard John the Baptist preach. And in Matthew 3, you can turn there if you care to. We have recorded here some of John's ministry. I'd just like to read a couple of these verses. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jump down to verse 5. "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." We have here recorded that they heard John the Baptist. And John had very strong admonition for them. He admonished them to bring forth, to repent, bring forth fruits of repentance. And not to proudly say that we have Abraham as our father. And that's good enough. But apparently they had not taken that to heart. They had had as much opportunity to know the Scriptures, to know John, if John's teaching lines up with the words of Moses and the law. You know, they had the same opportunities as the sinners, the publicans and harlots. the ones they viewed as low-class folks, and probably they even had more opportunities being familiar with the law like they were. But you know, they missed it. They were like that son that said, "I go," and went not. Christian friends, what about you and I this morning? What opportunities do we have today in 2020? Maybe I should ask, what opportunities do we not have? I mean, I believe we have opportunities like never before. Do you agree with that? And I'm talking about opportunities for spiritual success, not just material opportunities. Yes, we have many of those too. You know, we have good books, we have reading material available to us like never before. We've been taught, many of us have, the Bible from little on up. We've had Christian parents that did their best to raise us in the fear of God. We have Christian schools to send our children to, Bible schools for our youth to go to. We have the Bible, the Word of God, available like never before. I have several Bibles at my house. We have Sunday schools, churches to go to where the Word of God is taught every week. We have opportunities here, I believe, that many do not have in our world and even in America. And I was just getting started. But what are we doing with those opportunities? Are we using them? Are we taking advantage of them for our spiritual well-being and the spiritual well-being of our families? Or are we just taking them for granted as normal? Children, if you are here this morning, you have a wonderful opportunity that many children do not have. If you have parents that care about you, and brought you to church, brought you to Sunday school, and read the Bible to you, pray with you, and want to teach you right and wrong, and send you to school, and yes, even make some rules at times for you. I want to tell you this morning, you have opportunities to hear about God that many children in the world do not have. There are many, many children in other countries, and even in America, that would be glad to have the chances, be glad to be in the place that you're in, and to have Christian parents that care for you, care for them like you do. Well, what about myself as an adult here this morning? You know, I've had opportunities as well. Opportunities to go to a Christian school, Bible school, and have the opportunity to send my children as well. Do I value that? Do I value that? Or do I say things like, our Christian day schools, it's getting so expensive, I can hardly afford it. Once again, do I value it? There are many parents, I believe, that would be glad to be in the place, in our place today. How about my hunger and thirst for the Word of God? And once again, here, I fear that there are people in many other countries that have no Bible, that maybe have to walk for miles to hear the Bible read, or to get a few pages of Scripture. Those people, I'm afraid, put my dedication and my Bible reading habits to shame. We're blessed with so many opportunities. The two sons had the same opportunities. You know, they also had the same command from their father. Each son heard the same command. Son, go work in my vineyard today. And each son had to reply to that. But you know, the reply wasn't enough in itself. There had to be a going and a doing. You know, the first son said, I will not. I'm not going to go. He outright refused. But then he repented. If he had repented and still didn't go to the vineyard, well, we'd say that wasn't repentance at all, was it? He still needed to go. And you know, the second son had a very good reply. He had words that were good and right and even quite polite. He said, I go, sir. He addressed his father respectfully. And you know, he didn't say, I will go. Give me half an hour. I'll get going. He said, I go. I'm on the way. The job, you consider it done. But you know, good and polite sounding words just really didn't cut it, did they? They weren't enough. You know, he needed to put those words into action. His reply and smooth talk, his good speech, didn't do a thing. And as I thought about that, you know, the religious leaders of Jesus' day that he was talking to here were a lot like the second son in this area, weren't they? You know, they were good at talking and sounding righteous. And they would have long prayers in public, in the marketplace, and so forth. Jesus rebuked them for that. And he rebuked them for having the right words, sounding right, but not having a heart that was sincere and right before God. And we find that at least one occasion I have is Matthew 15, verse 7 and 8. You don't need to turn there. Jesus said, you hypocrites, you draw nigh to me with your mouth and honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Was Jesus saying here that their words were wrong? I don't think he was, but it was rather the life of obedience and heart of love that was not there in their experience to back up their profession. Well, what about us today? You know, it's the same today, isn't it? Words alone are not enough for the Christian. You know, words are necessary. They're a needed part of the Christian life. Every Christian needs to have words just ready on his lips, ready to tell what God has done for him, ready to give a testimony for Jesus Christ. We see much of that today, do we not? Many profess to be a Christian. Yes, I go to church. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Believe he died for my sins. I love God. He's good to me. And all that is very good. But you know, it needs to be backed up by a life of obedience, doesn't it? And so often, that's the part that seems to be missing. In Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not the things that I say? It's very clear that a life of obedience is what God wants, not just a profession. That's a very sobering challenge for me, and I believe for all of us. God requires obedience. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know, these two sons, as I said, both heard the same command. Son, go work today in my vineyard. And I'm told that a vineyard, that growing grapes in those times, was a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work. And I'm sure it still is. But there was more manual labor back then, I'm sure. It was hard work. There were fences and walls to build to keep out the wild critters that would eat the grapes. There was weeds to contend with. There was vines to care for and grapes to harvest and store. It was a lot of work. Well, son, go work in my vineyard today. I believe this command can be taken today for each one of us as Christians. I believe our Heavenly Father would say to each one of us, son, go work today in my vineyard. Daughter, go work today in my vineyard. And you know, we have Jesus' parting words there. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. These are the final words of Jesus to the disciples before he left the earth. There's much work to do in our Father's vineyard. And the command Jesus gives to his disciples is go and work. There are people that need to hear the gospel message. You know, there are neighbors that need to see the Bible lived out in practical everyday life. And there are young Christians that need a godly example to look up to in their life. And there are children that need to hear about the love of Jesus. There's work for everyone. The command from Jesus is, go work today in my vineyard. There's work to do today, right now. Opportunities will be missed if you wait till tomorrow. Don't look for the big opportunities in the vineyard. Many of them appear just quite small, I believe. In closing here, I believe there's much more we could glean from this. There's some of the gleanings that I did and shared with you. But once again, I'd ask, which son are you? Which son would you like to be in your Christian life? What's your response to God's call in your life this morning? You know, as Christians, we have the resources. We have many more resources, I believe, than these people did in Jesus' day, these religious leaders. You know, we just have no excuse, no reason to end up like the leaders here that Jesus had to rebuke. And I just like to challenge us this morning to be like the second son in our reply, in our words, and say, Lord, I'll go. I'll do the work that you have for me today. But to have the action in our life like we have seen in the first son and be going out and doing the work of the Lord. Well, may God bless His word this morning and each one of you as you endeavor to put it into practice this coming week. Let's kneel for prayer.